to the church at Rome. And last week he was commending the Romans for their faith. And tonight he points back to himself as an example of someone who should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. None of us should be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the title tonight. So beginning in verse 14 of Romans chapter 1, Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So Paul said, I am not ashamed. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that you would use your word in our lives, and Lord, speak to our hearts about this matter of witnessing. And I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified. Guide us in your truth. We give you the service in Christ's name. Amen. It's only three verses, but in this short passage, we find Paul giving us a great example of boldness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've found at least five things that we can learn from Paul's example in this passage. And the first one that we see here is Paul recognizes his responsibility. He uses that word debtor. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. In other words, I have a debt now to share the gospel with whoever I can. He recognized that he has a responsibility to pass on what someone gave to him, which is the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. And those of us that are born again have that same responsibility to share the gospel with the lost. If you go to Acts 20, verse 31, Paul talks about his own ministry. Here in Acts, things are winding down. He's headed toward his own martyrdom. And notice what he said here in Acts chapter 20 and down in verse 31. He says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He's talking to the elders there at Ephesus. He's about to leave Ephesus. And he says, I spent 3 years warning you night and day. Paul took his responsibility seriously, didn't he? That he would spend 3 years day and night warning them of their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we all have this responsibility. We know that it's the Great Commission. It's the last thing that Jesus commanded us before he went to heaven. All four of the Gospels, before he went to heaven, he said in Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations. In Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke 24, that in his name the gospel should be preached among all nations. And then in John chapter 20, he says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So at the end of all four of the Gospels, Jesus said, go and tell people about me. Go to 1 Corinthians 9:16. And of course, in Acts chapter 1, just before he ascended to heaven, Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. So there we have a fifth great commission, if you will, in the beginning of the book of Acts. We're told to go. Notice 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Paul is speaking to us, and he says, necessity is laid upon me. I have a debt. I have a responsibility to tell others what someone told me, to pass it on, if you will, which people have been doing now for 2,000 years. And so the first thing that we see in Paul's example here is that he recognized his responsibility to share the gospel with the lost. Go back to our passage, Romans 1, verse 15. The second thing that we see from Paul's example is Paul was willing to give it his all. Notice he said, as much as in me is. It sounds like a simple sentence with a bunch of small words. But what's he saying? As much as I have, as much power and ability and time as I have, as much as in me is. In other words, Paul says, I'm not just going to give a half-hearted attempt at sharing the gospel. I'm going to give it my all, as much as in me is. And Paul, if you go to 2 Corinthians 6, was an example of someone who literally gave his all. We'll see here in 2 Corinthians 6, he summarized a lot of the things that he suffered for one reason, and that was because he shared the gospel. But he did give his all because he was martyred. He was eventually martyred there in Rome. And you can't give any more than your own life, which Paul did and all the apostles did. But notice 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving none offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, afflictions, in necessities, distresses, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, and so forth. But notice, afflictions, necessities, distresses, stripes. Paul went through all of this himself. He's not just throwing words out there. He's actually referring to his own sacrifices that he was willing to make for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the first thing we see is he definitely recognized his responsibility to a lost and dying world. But the second thing we see, he was willing to give it his all, as much as in me is. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. The Bible says in Acts 17, when he saw the people at Athens, it says his spirit was stirred in him. And that was the way Paul was. He says, I'm going to give it my all, as we should. The third thing we see in verse 15 of Romans 1 is his willingness, his readiness to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Notice he says, I am ready to preach the gospel. Every Christian should be ready to preach the gospel. That means you're prepared. You know how to preach the gospel. But you're also listening and sensitive when the Holy Spirit says that person needs to hear. You're ready. You're willing and ready so that when the Holy Spirit compels you, you follow through. And you tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful story. You know, in Luke 14, Jesus told a parable. At the end of the parable, it says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Compel them. And Paul said, I'm ready. I'm willing to do whatever. I'm going to be obedient. And so I'm prepared and I'm ready that whenever the Holy Spirit moves me. Go to Acts 17 and we'll see an example of this. You know, the Bible says we're to be led by the Spirit, right? Romans 8:14, these men are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. The Bible says we're to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be ready so that when the Spirit says witness, we witness. Here in Acts 17, just an example from Paul's life, verse 1, and when they had passed through and Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, look at this next phrase, as his manner was, went into them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Just a small little phrase, but as his manner was. First thing he did when he went into a new town, he went straight to the synagogue. Even though he was the apostle of the Gentiles, the first thing he did was go to the synagogue and start witnessing to the Jews. Now, he eventually would plant a Gentile church, but the first thing he did, as his manner was, he was ready, and we're to be ready. So he recognized his responsibility. He understood that we're all debtors to tell others what someone told us. He was willing to give it his all. He says, as much as in me is. And he was said, I am ready. Doesn't the Bible tell us that we're to, in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you? Be ready. So we're commanded to be ready. And that's the third thing we learn. The fourth thing we learn in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. He said, "For I am not ashamed," which is our title tonight. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Paul got his boldness from the Lord. We look at Paul and say, "Oh, well, he was different. He was a super Christian." No, he was just like us. He was a sinner saved by grace. The reason he wasn't ashamed was because he got his boldness from the Lord. Which is, by the way, where all the apostles got their boldness. How do we know this? If you go to Acts 4 and verse 31, we'll see it. The boldness is a byproduct of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not speaking in tongues. It's boldness. Notice Acts chapter 4, verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." So there it is. They were filled. What's the byproduct of being filled with the Holy Ghost? "And they spake the word of God with boldness." There's the byproduct of being filled with the Holy Spirit, is boldness. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold, as bold as a lion." Why are we as bold as a lion? Because we're strong and we're willing to fight anybody? No. Because we have God. And us and God make a majority. Amen. That's what he told Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, he said, "Oh Lord, but I'm just a child. I can't go out and be your prophet." And God said, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee." Here in Jeremiah 1:8. "I am with thee to deliver thee. Don't be afraid of them, because I'm on your side." And God says the same to us. Don't be afraid. And don't be ashamed. Doesn't the Bible say God hath not given us a spirit of fear? 2 Timothy 1:7. The next verse, Paul says, "And be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, of which I am a prisoner," he said. So the first thing we see, he recognized his responsibility to share the gospel with as many as he could. He was willing to give it his all, as much as in me is. He said, "I'm ready." He was prepared. He was always ready, so that when the Holy Spirit said witness, he witnessed. And he was bold. He said, "I'm not ashamed." And the last thing, verse 16 of Romans 1, it says, "For it is the power of God unto salvation." Paul recognized the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to save souls from hell. That's a lot of power. Can you think of anything on this earth that has that kind of power? You know, you think about whatever, a big engine or a rocket or whatever. That's nothing compared to something that has the power to rescue a soul from hell. And Paul said, "It is the power of God." What is? The gospel. That's what he said. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." The gospel of Christ has the power to save. To save lost sinners from hell. And Paul said, "That I'm not ashamed of it because it's the power of God. So I'm going to give it out as often as I can so that I can let the Holy Spirit use that power to save souls from hell," which he obviously did as churches were planted. Go to 1 Corinthians 3:7, and we'll see that when, you know, I'll be honest, I've been around a little while, and in my early days I would always hear all about soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. I'm not thrilled about that phrase anymore, because you and I don't win souls. God wins souls. I like the word witnessing or sharing the gospel, but soul winning, I don't know, because we don't win souls. I understand it, and I understand there's no malice in the phrase, and I'm all for it. We should all be soul winners. But notice 1 Corinthians 3:7. "So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." You and I are nothing. We're just sinners. And all we do is plant and water. That's all we do. We plant seeds when we share the gospel with someone that's never heard it. And sometimes we're watering the seeds in people that have heard it, but they haven't gotten saved yet. That's all we can do is plant and water. God gives the increase. God is the one, God the Holy Spirit is the one that reaches into that heart and says, you need to be saved. And then God, the Holy Spirit, is the one that actually saves the soul when they do accept the truth of the gospel and repent and ask Christ to save them. God does all of that. All we can do is throw out the power, if you will, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Plant seeds and water. But Paul recognized that power, and it wasn't our power, it's the power of the gospel to save souls. As we know, the word of God is quick and what? Powerful. Hebrews 4:12. So Paul here, recognized his responsibility, number one. He was willing to give it his all, number two. He was always ready and willing, number three. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel and had boldness, and number four. And then number five, he recognized that the gospel contains eternal power to save a soul from hell. To everyone that believeth, he says there in verse 16 of Romans 1, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Again, what's the first thing he did but go to the synagogue? To the Jew first. And we often think about Romans being a book about a Gentile church, and it is, but chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11 are Jewish chapters. Paul's heart never ceased to be broken for his own in the flesh, for the Jews. And that's why he said it that way. So, Lord willing, with the God's help from the Holy Spirit, we would also not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Paul's example.